Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
There's a good chance you've been hearing more about UFOs lately. That's because later this month, Congress is expecting to receive a long-awaited report from the Pentagon revealing their investigations into unidentified flying objects. But there's also been a handful of examples of pretty compelling video footage captured by the U.S. Navy that was declassified and ended up online. That might also explain this current wave of interest in UFOs. Vox's Dylan Matthews looked into these videos and is here to explain. Hi, Dylan.
Hi, Adam.
So you reported that there are three videos from the U.S. Navy captured. Can you walk us through each one and what happened?
Sure. I should say up front that there are more videos than that that are of interest to people in the UFO world, but these are the three that have really captured people's imagination. So they're called FLIR, which is a acronym for a kind of infrared camera that's on many Navy and other planes, one called Gimbal and one called Go Fast. FLIR captured an incident that happened in 2004, where you also have a lot of eyewitness testimony from pilots, particularly a pilot named Dave Fravor, who's become very outspoken about this, who reported seeing an object he couldn't really understand that was moving incredibly fast, that seemed like it could go 60 miles in a matter of seconds, which is far faster than any human aircraft or technology. Gimbal shows people monitoring a camera from Navy planes and commenting on how fast it's going, and that they believe that there's a whole fleet.
Dude, this is a fucking drone, bro. There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA. Oh my gosh.
And Go Fast shows one object that is on water that appears to be going at a really astonishing speed, and also has commentary by people saying how remarkable they find the speed.
Are you Fox moving target?
No, I took an auto track.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Wow.
And so if you look at these in isolation, they do look surprising. I should emphasize that they're very grainy, low quality videos. That's provoked a lot of the controversy about them. But you are also hearing trained Navy pilots express astonishment at what they're seeing. And I think people of that reputation expressing that kind of bewilderment has fed into people's interest in this.
So these videos from the U.S. Navy, they sound like something that should be classified. How did these end up out in the world on YouTube?
Yeah, so the proximate origin is a project within the Pentagon called the UAP Task Force. So UAP stands for Unidentified Aerial Phenomena. It's what researchers today, particularly in the military, like to call what used to be called UFOs, which were themselves kind of a euphemism early on. But the phenomena part means that it could just be like lens flare. It could be something that isn't an object per se. But the UAP task force was set up in the Pentagon in around 2007 at the instigation of Harry Reid, who was Senate Majority Leader at the time, who has a longstanding interest in UFOs, who wanted to authorize some Pentagon investigations into videos like this that he had heard rumblings about. And it went through a few different stages in the Pentagon. Eventually, Lou Elizondo, who has become one of the most prominent voices on this, who is a career intelligence guy in the Pentagon, by his regulation, took it over and started compiling video evidence. And around this time, there was sort of some agitation for greater openness on UFO matters from the outside. In particular, Tom DeLonge, who was lead guitarist and one of the vocalists for the band Blink-182, set up a group called To the Stars that was meant to be sort of like a hub of information about UFOs. And eventually, some of these videos made their way to The Stars. To the Stars hired Lou Elizondo and another ex-Pentagon official named Chris Mellon, and they started shopping these videos to journalists, eventually got them in the hands of Leslie Keene and Ralph Blumenthal, who was a former New York Times reporter. And from there, first they got FLIR and Gimbal into the New York Times, and then Go Fast was leaked a few months later. And so it was really a circuitous process. And I think you're right that in some of these cases, these are videos that you would assume would be classified, but they were declassified by the time that they were released and had gone through this process of internal review by the UAP task force.
So just to be clear, we have Harry Reid, the senator from Nevada, where Area 51 is, starting up an effort back in 2007, and then there's a member of Blink-182 involved, and eventually these videos ended up being published by the New York Times. What happened next? Was there a response from the government once these were out in the open?
Yeah, I think there was a major cultural shift after the New York Times story. I think some of the material in the story was well known to people in the UFO community. There's been long been an online community of people interested in this stuff. Some of the videos had leaked in unofficial form already. But the New York Times being interested in it kind of put a degree of legitimacy on the story that hadn't existed before. And so not only did the Times do a bunch of follow-up stories, do more interviews with pilots about their witness experiences, but one thing that happened in 2019 is that the Navy started authorizing Navy pilots to report incidents like this and encouraging them to add to data on these encounters with strange objects or phenomena. And that sort of changed the culture a bit internally in the Navy. And then it sort of culminated in a request from Congress for an unclassified version of the UAP task force report.
To what degree do we expect that report to be explosive versus boring? What do you think is going to be in it? And what do ufologists think is going to be in it?
So I have no special knowledge on what it's going to say. It's not released as of our recording. What we've heard, thanks to a report from Helene Cooper and Julian Barnes in the New York Times, is that it will confirm that in the incidents reviewed, and we still don't know which incidents specifically they're going to review, but that none of the things seen were American vehicles. And that's important in that that's one hypothesis for what these were, and a hypothesis that's been correct in the past. Area 51 became infamous because it was a testing center for SR-71 and U-2 reconnaissance planes, which are very secretive, deliberately spooky-looking planes that unsurprisingly prompted a lot of UFO reports when they were, in fact, unidentified flying objects. They were just like U.S. military spy planes. But the report is expected to rule that out as an explanation for the current crop of videos and reports. Beyond that, the Times also reported that they can't demonstrate any evidence that these are extraterrestrial in origin, which we should expect. This is not going to be a big blockbuster report where the government says aliens are real. But beyond that, we don't have a lot of detail, and I'm really eager to dig into it.
So it sounds like one possible explanation could be that they're aircraft from another country or someone else's spy planes.
Yeah. So a guy named Tyler Rogoway has outlined this theory at length, and I encourage people to read his work on this. It's very detailed and, to me, persuasive. So his theory is that this is many of these incidents are sort of drone swarms from Russia or China. The idea there being drones are really cheap to manufacture. They're not very difficult technology. A country like China that has long lagged the U.S. in aerospace stuff would be capable of deploying them. And just as we had U-2s and SR-71s to spy on the Soviets, it makes sense that other countries would have reconnaissance drones and that they would be seen near naval bases, which is the kind of thing that those drones would be looking at if they were real. There are people who believe that this is extraterrestrial who will insist that the things that they see these vehicles doing cannot be done by drones. I'm not sure that's true. And Rogoway has more technical detail on this, but a lot of things that look crazy about these videos are like tricks of the eye or an effect of camera placement. While there aren't obvious explanations like that for everything, the drone explanation, the sort of Russia-China drone explanation, I think has a lot of evidence pointing its way. And it's obviously the kind of thing that, if true, would be of great concern to the U.S. military.
So there's been sort of an ebb and flow of work the government's been doing, and that's sort of been reflected by the ebb and flow of mainstream public interest as well. UFOs were big when X-Files were on in the 90s, and the Cold War was still a recent memory. What do you think has made it possible for UFOs to jump back into the mainstream now? Why do you think that's happened?
So I think some of it is, as you say, after the 90s, there was sort of a technological shift that made this sort of easier for people to dive into and share stories about. A lot of UFO culture now exists on podcasts and on YouTube, where people can dig into specific videos, can interview people who have seen specific things. And YouTube and podcasts are great fora for that. That this is the kind of thing that they're built for. And I think we're also at a point of near bottom trust in government and institutions. I think you see that manifest itself in various ways, but one of the ways is through conspiracy theories. I hesitate to use that term because I think a lot of people in the UFO world have theories about these things that they hold in good faith, and we genuinely don't have a definitive true explanation of a lot of these things. It's not a situation like the JFK assassination where, like, there's a real thing that happened and then there are all these theories. But as people lose faith that the government is telling them everything, people start to wonder about what the government's hiding from them. One thing that's been interesting about the government's response here is that it's been very actively trying to suggest that it's not hiding anything from anybody, that they want to proactively release things. They want to declassify things. They want to build some kind of public trust that they're on the level on this stuff with the public. The difficulty is that there's never going to be enough for some quarters. And there's a classified annex to this new report that's coming out. I'm sure that that's going to feed suspicions that the classified annex is actually full of evidence that aliens have visited us. But I think that's just symptomatic of a broader decline in social trust and trust in government.
And I also have to wonder if increased interest in space travel has something to do with it, too. I mean, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos is about to become an astronaut. Elon Musk is talking about sending rockets to the moon. And it's almost like we have a different kind of space race happening right now that has more people looking to the sky.
Yeah, we're in a private sector space race for the first time. And yeah, I've never heard that posited as an explanation for some of these sightings. I don't think SpaceX is pretty good, but they could do a good job of telling the government when they're doing something. But yeah, there's more public fascination with space and space travel. And yeah, it's makes sense that it would translate to this.
Dylan, thank you for joining us. To read Dylan's full story explaining this uptick in UFO interest, head to Vox.com. Thanks, Dylan.
Thanks so much, Adam.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.